Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Too Many Trailers. I'm Marianne.
And I'm Kelsey. And would you call this a spooky episode, Marianne? Because it's spooky season.
Because it's Spooktober, if you will.
It's Spooktober, people. Happy October, happy spooky season. I'm thriving.
This is Kelsey's favorite time of the year.
Ugh, I love it. Anyway.
So we're a podcast about movie trailers, not about October.
I mean, spin-off podcast, question mark?
Called Spooktober that airs for 1 month of the year. Would we have to do an episode every day, though? To really make it, like, a thing? Hmm. Yeah, I like how Kelsey was like, kombucha girl. She was like, maybe? Kombucha girl. No.
Maybe. Anyway, we're a podcast that talk about movie trailers every other week. This week we have two Halloween-esque themed, fantastical, very grasping for straws type of Halloween.
It's okay. The first one fits. The second one, it's a little stretch.
I usually say, because it's like magical realism, possibly, that it like might fit in with like the Halloween season of not real
you
things.
You know what, Kelsey?
I'm stretching.
But I support that you're really going for it.
Thank you. I appreciate the support.
I try.
This is how we have good co-hosts in 2019.
Therapy.
Yes, so the trailers we have this week are
Zombieland, Double Tap,
and The Aeronauts.
One significantly sounding like it's spookier than the other, but that's okay.
We are doing fine.
Doing great.
I've had so much sugar.
We keep drinking this lemonade that's like pure sugar before we do this, which is like a great choice until like halfway in.
Until halfway in, we're like, okay, we're going to get another glass.
Another glass, and then go to bed.
So should we start with Zombieland, Double Tap?
I really tried to hold in my laughter.
I've been waiting to do that for a little week and a half. Anyway, let's move along.
So behind the trailer facts for Zombieland Double Tap.
Let's see. Okay, the director is Ruben Fleischer. But also, if you say Fleischer, it goes with the theme of zombies.
Oh my god, I can't.
I like your initial reaction is, shut up.
But, like, shut up in the, like, Princess Diaries way of, like, oh my god, what?
Oh my god, shut up.
Shut up. Fleischer, however you say it. Sir, I'm so sorry. He directed Zombieland.
Okay.
And
perfect.
The first one. And then he directed Venom. And also, he's directed, I'm not sure of all, but some of the Santa Clarita Diet.
I love that show. Also, another zombie show. RIP. Rest in peace, Santa Clarita Diet. Mm-hmm. That ended on a wonderful cliffhanger.
I love when things end on a nice cliffhanger.
Go back to our other episodes where we talk about
shows ending prematurely.
Yes. And dealing with them.
Moving right along.
Our writers are Dave Callahan, Rhett Reese, and Paul Wernick.
So Rhett Reese has done, and Paul Wernick have pretty much done all of the same things, mm-hmm. including Deadpool.
Okay.
And the first Zombieland.
Oh, okay. Wow, that is nice and surprising to see.
And then Dave Callahan, I think, also was involved on the first Zombieland. But he also did the Godzilla TKOM,
Will. Yes.
But the first one.
Oh, okay. The one with Bryan Cranston?
The one that came out in 2014.
The one with Bryan Cranston, I believe.
Sure, I don't know who that is.
Walter White, Breaking Bad.
Oh.
Yes. The one, the only.
Got it. Okay. In better news for Marianne, of where we know things, he's also going to be one of the writers on Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings forthcoming from Marvel. And really excitingly, he's going to be one of the writers, or he is one of the writers for Wonder Woman 1984.
Oh, yes. When is that movie coming out? I feel like that movie's been like,
I've seen that poster for a long time.
Exactly.
It's really exciting for me.
I feel like
if I was going to buy a movie poster to put up in my home, it could be that.
Because it's the gayest poster that's out there.
It's like rainbows and Gal Gadot. And I'm like, as Wonder Woman, and I'm like, everything I wanted gay. In my
life.
In
like the best way possible, of course. Yeah.
But it was just like gay as like a compliment. Okay,
yeah, it was just like
FYI
coming
for you
from
guys.
My mouth. It felt I was like, ooh, this feels like very demeaning, but it's not. Anyway, moving on.
Anyways, yeah, you're right. It's the gayest poster.
It really
ever.
Is,
and I love it. And I'm excited to see that you're gonna work on it, Mr. Callahan.
Oh, I thought you were me. I was like me.
Kelsey was like, I'm gonna going work to work on Wonder Woman 1984.
Gladly, I'll take that position. All right. All right, let's get into the cast.
The
composer. Let's get into the composer. I apologize.
It's okay. The composer is David Sardi. He did the first Zombieland.
Okay.
So, like, I love the continuity of this whole crew.
It's like A+.
I know. He also did 21.
Wait, that's that movie with
what's
the dude from
Across the Universe.
Exactly.
Yep.
Thank you. Where it's he's, like, an American student that tries to, like, go
he,
to
like,
Las Vegas
cards.
To Who Counts Cards. Yes.
And then he also
saw that in theaters.
Wow.
Yeah.
I watched like 3/4 of it on TV once.
It's like not the worst movie I've ever seen.
Correct.
It's like
it's not
like
the worst.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Like it's a good TV movie.
It wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
And then he also did, you remember the Ghost Rider film with Nicolas Cage?
I remember one
like
with
the,
Johnny Depp.
No. I think this is the one where he's on the motorcycle.
Oh, Ghost Rider, as in
yes,
you write
yeah.
a novel. I thought you said Ghost Writer, as
oh,
in
sorry,
someone who writes a novel.
I better. Ghost Rider.
Oh.
He did the second one.
No.
But remember, he just composed the music.
Okay.
Oh,
so
no. better. So a little better than being, like, the writer.
Right, it's very true. Yeah.
Yeah. So we can move right into the cast anytime you want.
All right, so the cast. We have Zoe Dutch. People might know her from the Netflix movie Set It Up. Lucy Liu. And
oh, I like Lucy
Liu. Lucy Liu is great. But she is kind of, I feel like we've known her a long time, but she's only like started to come really like into popularity now.
Mm-hmm.
She's a really good like semi-comedic actress and like kind of like romantic, kind of like quirky girl type of aesthetic.
Yeah.
Type of actress, but she's really good. I really like her.
Yeah. I'm wondering
style.
Why she was like on IMDb as the very top billed person.
I
was like,
yeah, it's
I was like, Woody Harrelson was not.
You'd be surprised who's the next one. It's Emma Stone.
But at least she was like more of a lead, like,
right?
The
exactly.
Whole thing, I feel like.
And then we have Abigail Breslin, who looks so adult. I remember. I just
know.
Keep remembering her
as
from Little Miss Sunshine.
Yes.
And it's all like, oh, it's like I always imagined her like as a child. So when I saw her in this trailer, I was like, holy shit, you're an adult.
You're an adult.
You're
now?
An adult.
I know.
Yeah.
I always think of her as from like Raising Helen, the movie with Kate Hudson.
I think
where she's
I,
like literally
like
six.
A child.
And I was like, and then every time I see her, I'm like, hello.
Hello, you are
not a child. Help.
We have Bill Murray, the one, the only.
Who we didn't see in this trailer.
We didn't see in this trailer,
okay,
but
I just wanted to clarify. I was like, maybe I missed him.
But he is, like, a huge cameo part in the first
one.
Yes.
Okay.
Then we have Woody Harrelson. We have Rosario Dawson.
I love Rosario Dawson.
She is
because she was,
amazing.
Oh my god, that could be kind of a gay connection. She
it's
was
a sparkle.
In Rent.
She was a sparkle.
And then the funniest thing about anything that's happened with Rent is when they did the live, one like the live production of it on Fox.
Recently?
Yeah, last year. Did you watch it?
No, I
did
just heard all bad things
well,
about it.
Well, it's because it was their dress rehearsal. It's
that's
a long story.
So fucking stupid.
Because
I know
the
story.
Guy broke
yeah.
his ankle and they... didn't
have an understudy.
I'm mad about it too, but getting to the best part of it is that the original cast from the movie and the Broadway production were all backstage watching from behind the scenes, but they were all smashed. They were shit-faced, and they were all making these hysterical Instagram stories and stuff like that, and, like, them singing along, but so drunk, and they were like, this is my favorite part, and then blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh my god. My favorite thing is to see celebrities when they're drunk because it's so
put
funny.
Put it on the list.
Because it is. It's so funny. That's why I love watching the Golden Globes because everybody gets plastered
makes so
and they
much
don't
more
care.
Sense.
It's like, Uninhibited celebrities is my favorite thing.
That is the funniest thing I've fucking heard.
It was the greatest. But yeah, she plays close enough to a lot of gay characters in Rent. She's so like, I feel like that gay adjacent. A sparkle. Gay adjacent. I like it. She's like half she's a sparkle. Like,
yeah. She's a sparkle. Anyways, moving along. We have Avan Hogia. I hope I said your name right.
And we're so sorry.
So sorry. Jesse Eisenberg, who has not aged one day since The Social Network.
Right? I was like, everybody else looks a lot older.
Yeah.
And you just...
He looks exactly the same. It's wild.
That's why they can keep casting him as the same typecasted part.
It's very true. Granted, he hasn't been in a movie, I feel like, in 10 years.
Zombieland 1.
We have Luke Wilson, Dan Aykroyd, which I'm very curious about what his role will be, and last but not least, Thomas Middleditch. And that's kind of like the main cast. I think there's a lot of people in the cast because of extras playing the zombie, yeah, and they have to be like special extras because like they're like not just being an extra in the film, like they're doing more than that, but they're not like reading any lines.
Right.
Yeah. Stunt performers, possibly. Who knows? Ready to jump into this beautiful trailer?
Yeah, let's jump right on in. So my opening note, just real quick, is for the love of God, we should keep a tally of how many goddamn times this fucking happens. Why must we show the 5-second ad clip of the fucking trailer at the beginning of the fucking trailer when we're watching the video of the full trailer? Well, I understand why you have that recorded and why you have that little sound bite and all that stuff. I get it. YouTube ads are 5 seconds or else people skip it. Got it. That's fine. Why the fuck are you going to put it at the beginning of your own trailer?
I don't get it. Like, you don't do that, like, in theaters, like... Just because it's like, you're going to see it. So why not just do it there in YouTube? Like, I get, like, what you're doing. Like, I get that you're using that same video across, like, 20 different platforms. And we've yelled about this before in another episode.
Several other episodes.
Many an episode. And, like, I get it, but there's no reason to do it. There's no reason to do it. Just don't do it. People are going to either watch it or not. Like, I understand you're like, well, we have 27 million views because of it. Well, that's just because people were just scrolling by.
You people suck.
It's a little aggressive, but okay. Yeah, let's go with it.
It sucks.
It does suck, yeah.
It's so annoying. It makes me not want to watch the full trailer. So take that for your research purposes.
And put it in your pocket. my first note is, and I think we've discussed this before in an unreleased episode when, we had some editing audacity issues in the very early stages of this podcast, where we talked about the gladiator shot. I don't know if you remember when we tried to talk about Winnie the Pooh and...
I know when you said an unaired episode and I was like, the only one we did was Christopher Robin.
So this shot...
I was just wondering where that was going to connect. Okay.
So this shot is... based upon the shot where Russell Crowe is going through, like, the wispy fields of,
gladiator shot. I was like a fighting shot?
When I related it to Winnie the Pooh, what did you
think? That's why I was wondering. I was like, how did this tell me more about how we're going to get to Christopher Robin from here?
Both Winnie the Pooh and Woody Harrelson are walking through, like, the weeds and, like, dragging their hands across.
But our actual episode title is going to be both Woody Harrelson and Winnie the Pooh, because honest to God, can you think of any more like opposite ends of the spectrum than Woody Harrelson in this movie where he's killing a bunch of zombies and motherfucking Winnie the Pooh?
I swear to God, I wish I had the video editing skills so I can just make a YouTube video about these two shots because it is insane.
Do we know anybody with video editing skills?
I wish.
We're gonna have to pull the Virgo
out of my butt and just like
and just learn how to
and
do
learn
it.
To it. but in how they both they're walking through the fields and you just like you focus on the hand like it's like this big drama type thing. It's ridiculous and it's such a It is like a good shot in the moment of Gladiator because it's like the end of the movie, I believe, where he's like walking towards his family, like in the afterlife, being like, "I come back to you, the Gladiator."
Is that what he said? You think
that's what the one man show of the movie The Gladiator would be? I'm coming back to you. I am the Gladiator. Are you entertained?
Jesus Christ.
This is my favorite episode, maybe.
I'm going to be listening back to this and being like, what the fuck was she on?
What the fuck happened? What happened?
This is what happens when you don't eat sugar. But yeah, and it's like a really strange shot to have because of the fact it's in a different, like, muted tone. Mm. And I'm just like, all right, so it doesn't, not that it gives the wrong impression, it's just, it's like, to me, it's jarring almost, because it's like, oh, this is a shot I personally immediately recognize. I mean, granted, they're not selling it to the people. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, so drama? No.
I was just like, okay, we've got the nice little, like, slow-mo-y, like, hair blowing in the wind as we walk through the field shot. I was like, all right, whatever.
Whatever, we got it.
I, just as a little background FYI, I have never seen the first one.
I have, and it's actually, like, it's not scary in the fact of, like, jump scares or, like,
right, it doesn't
horror.
Look like
it's a comedy
like
horror film, right. And it's, like, what you expect from, like, those, like, early to mid-2000 type films where it's, like, poking fun at, it's, like, kind of, like, doing this, like, meta thing where it's making fun of movies. And also,
right.
And like, also, like, it's making fun of itself at the same time. So it's not exactly taking itself seriously, but it is at the same time. It's like there's a kind of meta aspect to it.
Yeah, I could kind of tell that from that opening part of the trailer where they're walking through the field, as in the first 5 seconds.
And so, like, the first one, like, a lot of it, it's like you learn the rules of, you know, this, in how, like, America became this zombie land, quote unquote, and how it, so like a lot of the times, like, you have freeze frames and you have text over it, so it's saying like rule number 76.
Gotcha. Oh.
Don't sit down in an open bathroom because like the zombie will come up like from behind, like from underneath, like the stall. Like it's kind of God. like a manual's guide to
like Ned's Declassified.
Of course, it's exactly like Ned's Declassified's guide to middle school. So.
All right. Well, that was just as a background because I was like,
yeah. So if
but
you,
it's fine. I
because it's like
the background. It's all right. I might watch it at some point.
It's honestly like not
horrible.
A horrible thing to watch. Like just like at like the end of the night on Netflix, if it's ever on Netflix, type of film. You know,
gotcha.
It's like it's there.
Yeah,
I'll watch it. It's fun.
I liked, but going to that like the fact that the movie is like very meta and makes fun of itself and all that. I was like, ooh, I can tell that easily from the juxtaposition of them being, like, Academy Award winner, and then it's, like, Woody Harrelson, like, walking through. I'm like,
yeah, that's what I,
all right.
You
it's like, they have great acting skills, yet they are in this film.
Right.
Doing these stupid things we ask them to do.
Because,
which, yeah.
It's one of those things where it's, like, they've accomplished so much between the 10 years of that, like, that film has
and
been released.
And even before that, like, Woody
right.
Harrelson
is
stuff like
that. He's an incredible actor.
And it's, like,
and he's become, like, almost a joke, but he's kind of, like, a Bill Murray-esque type of actor, where he's, like, this inside joke type of thing, where it's, like, Woody Harrelson.
Right, and then it's just, like, here we are shooting stuff and being
exactly.
idiots, because we can also do that.
This movie felt so of its time. Like, not in a bad way, where it's like... The trailer
okay.
felt...
I just wanted
yeah,
to...
Yeah, thank you. The trailer felt very of its era, but, like, not in the bad way of it. Like, it felt very 2009. Like, I felt like I was back in 2009, back in high school, being like, this is cool. No one's gonna watch this with me. So, type of, like, movie where I felt like a kid again.
Oh my God, so similar to Christopher Robin.
Yeah.
Who would have known that the movie we relate this to most is Christopher Robin.
It was like almost like a nostalgia bomb, but not at the same time because it had this new feeling to
right,
it where
right.
it was
and
like...
And it's not like
yeah.
something you knew like 20 years ago.
Exactly.
Like something you knew 10 years ago.
It felt very strange because I was like, oh, like, this is, like, so old, but yet it's, like, they're making fun of everything else that would have been fine.
Right.
In, like, the 2000, like, early 2000s, but it's not, like, shitty. It's, like, you're not making sexist jokes. You're not really making, as far as we can tell, racist joke, hopefully.
Please don't.
It's very easy not to. But it was a very good juxtaposition saying, like, really nothing felt like it changed in a good way. So.
Kelsey's like, yeah, catch my drift.
Catch my drift. But I do have to say, when I realized that when he was walking to the White House and that whole area was just a deserted area, I was like, oh, that's funny.
You're like, huh, that wouldn't be terrible. No, would it? And then when he was like, I'm the president, I was like, okay.
We've had worse. So, but I thought it was a very great way to reintroduce, like, the series again, you know? I thought the Christmas scene that they showed was great.
Yes.
But it was hysterical to show an extended amount of time, you know.
Did this trailer feel extremely lengthy to you?
I feel like I watched
a whole film.
I did too. I felt like from top to bottom, I felt like I saw some exposition go on and not go on at the same time. It's a very weird trailer.
Yeah, I was like, I feel like I'm fully immersed in this, which is good, but I feel like, and I feel like some of the Christmas stuff was good, but then I was like, okay, now we've been on Christmas too long,
yeah.
Time is actually passing in the time of this trailer, how long have I
we're
been
getting
here?
Like, we're getting like a full year of like ideas going on here, and then all of a sudden like Zoe Dutch appears, and you're like, wait a minute, who are you again?
I know, and then you get a whole new plot line, and you're
yeah.
like, Jesus.
But I feel like the way that this trailer is juxtaposed and edited, it's showing that, you know, we're going to have to go from point A to point B to point C. Like, I feel like there's so much time in between the movies, they kind of just have to, like, kind of explain
right.
as to why,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
they haven't had this much time to do it, but all of a sudden they're back.
Right.
type of
Hello.
Thing. Welcome back.
Did you guys miss this film? We
I mean,
did.
It's like a cult classic, though. I mean, like, I know that I would always see, like, the Bill Murray scene, like, everywhere when I was, like, on YouTube and back in 2010 or whatever.
Good Lord.
Jesus Christ. But, like, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, did you see the movie Bill Murray was in it? It's like, oh, why'd you ruin the surprise?
Yeah, I wouldn't have known that Bill Murray was in it unless, except for when I read it on IMDb and
yeah.
I was like, I don't think I saw you in the trailer.
I might have this movie... Might have this movie on DVD.
Shut up, really?
I might. I had to go through my collection, but it's one of those movies where I was like, I enjoyed this at one point or another.
In one point in time, therefore yeah. I shall purchase it.
Exactly. But boom.
If you own it, we should watch
we
it.
Should. I think it'll be like the one spooky movie you might be able to watch.
It doesn't look that spooky.
It's more of a comedy. It's more
I
of a comedy.
I think other films are much spookier than
yes.
this that I can get through.
Yeah.
Through the trailer, I was like... Like, I was like, okay, so Woody Harrelson is now the funny caricature of, like, what white guys would find really funny. Like,
well,
I was
like,
this
like,
is for, like, Republican white guys.
It
is, like, his character
humor. It kind of is. I mean, like, it's weird because it's his, the first film, he was a lot more, like, subdued funny. Like, he was, like, there's just one scene that people always seem to go for in the first one where, like, a Twinkie truck. Like, collapses over, and he's like, oh, fuck, yes, Twinkies, like, I fucking love Twinkies, and he gets into the truck, and it's like, snowballs, it's like, the first fucking Twinkie is a fucking snowball, and so it's one of those things where it's like, the older white guy can always, like, relate to.
Oh my god, yes, that's what I saw
yeah.
in this film, like, at the very beginning, I was like, whatever, Woody Harrelson, and then I was like, this is very, like, very specific white guy
but
humor.
That's, like, of the time of, like, the early, the like, mid to late 2000s where you have a bunch of these, like, white male comedy characters where every, like, white guy is like, I love it, it's so
I'm the
funny.
Funniest person in the entire world. Shut up.
Exactly, because they would just repeat those lines back. But yet, it still doesn't feel
so question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that they did that kind of stuff, like, making it feel like it's still 2009 on purpose? Or do you think it's just because it's all the same writing staff?
And they were like, this was the funny way we laid it out the first time. Let's do the same fucking thing.
I think they did it on purpose. Because I feel like, because they had some involvement with Deadpool 2, or Deadpool, correct?
Deadpool.
Because they had some involvement with Deadpool, I feel like they understand being of the time and understanding the characters as they are, rather than being like, it's funny. I mean, like, obviously, yes, but I feel like Deadpool is a quote-unquote woke enough film right. for, like, a white guy to understand what you can put and what you cannot put. You have to understand, in Deadpool, there is, like, you know, there are, like, LGBTQ characters. Like, it is written extremely well. It is actually, you can make an argument that it's actually, like, a pretty feminist film as well, kind of. But you, so you have to work around that idea that they did it to make it so it's still good and okay for 2019, but still feels, it's not like it's a complete departure from the character's syntax and humor and everything.
And where they were in
exactly. Of course, people are going to evolve. Like, Emma Stone's character is kind of not like the character she was. Like, she evolved as a character.
Okay.
And, but you still have Jesse Eisenberg and Woody Harrelson as, like, kind of like the doofusy characters of the time where everyone's like, oh, let's repeat the same quote over four times.
It'll be funny every time. Don't worry. Right.
So I feel like because they had involvement with Deadpool and why that movie was such a success was because they were able to understand the humor of today and kind of still balance it with, like, the 2009 feel of it.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, great. I'm not sure if they used too much of the humor jokes.
It was
I'm a little worried.
It was, like, very much like a comedy film trailer where I'm like, okay, is there going to be anything else funny in this film or should I just watch this trailer?
But it wasn't, like, a complete comedy. Like, there were times of, like, the original one was not, like, wall-to-wall comedy. There were drama moments within it, like that's going to happen. And, like, of course there's going to be, like, zombie stuff, so you're going to have that to intersplice it. It was just a lot of comedy in the trailer, and I was like, oh, that could be...
You were like, you could not do that if you wanted.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, when Rosario Dawson came out, I was like, hey.
Hello.
You know how in, when we did the John Wick trailer, and all of a sudden Halle Berry came out?
Yes.
It was like how I felt about that, but like times a billion, because I love Rosario Dawson a lot more.
Yeah.
I was like... Motivation to see this film just got a lot higher.
You're like, well, maybe he'll bump this up.
Perhaps I could see this film.
Perhaps. Any more notes?
Just a small thing. So, as a very gay fangirl,
yes.
I'm just laying it straight out.
It's fine.
Don't use the quote, life is about more than just surviving, around a Klexa fan, because they'll go into
Christ.
A tailspin.
Oh, God.
It is literally the tagline of Clark and Lex's relationship.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's very important.
Wow.
It's on a lot of merch. It's on a lot of stuff. Like, it's a lot of the backbone of their whole relationship, because Clark says it to Lexa when at the very beginning when, like, Lexa really wants to get with Clark, and then it's not good timing, and then they go through their whole, like, fallout and getting back together, and then Lexa says it to Clark as she's dying. So don't say that. Be careful what you're doing. It literally happened in the middle of the trailer, and I was like, I don't think I can get past this. And honestly, after that, I have, like, one note.
So you get triggered so hard, you're like, I cannot.
I mean, just be careful of, like, be culturally sensitive, guys.
Be mindful of a very specific quote from a very specific
right, show. But I was like, wow, that was a very specific quote for you to have word for word. I didn't like it. So, FYI to Klexa fans or, like, gay people that fangirl on the internet anywhere. Just be prepared for that quote to happen. Honestly, it is on the border of, like, legitimately being triggering for some people because Lexa's literally dying.
No, like, it's
And the gunshot scene with Lexa is a very, like, hard place to be
for a lot of people. So, like, this is a, like, semi-funny, like, I was like, I feel bad about this now. And then also in, like, a legit, like, straight up, I know people have issues with that scene. Like, have, like, trouble.
I mean,
so
they have, I mean, like, it's not so much with the scene itself, but, like, maybe they have own personal issues of, you know, gun violence.
Well, it's also, it was the part of the whole 2016s when we killed so many lesbians on TV.
Right, there was.
Seeing gay people die
on TV was
a
legitimate reason. It wasn't just because of the fact it's like a quote. There was like.
Right, but the quote is like actively as she's dying.
Right, exactly.
So it's like very linked for a lot of people. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think
I know a lot of people have trouble with it.
Right. I know, but I don't think that this movie is marketing towards
gay people anyway.
Exactly. So
honestly. But yeah, I'm just saying. If you're listening to this and you're a big Plexa fan, like, just know that that quote's going to be in that line. FYI.
Anyway, Marianne, would you see this movie?
I don't know.
No. Netflix VOD.
Like, I'm not going to pay to see this film.
Netflix VOD.
I'd probably watch it on TV. Like, the first one, like, now that I've seen the trailer, I was like, okay, I could probably watch the first one, but I'd have to watch, like, the whole first one probably in its entirety, and then probably make my decision from there.
Right.
How about you?
Bargain Tuesday. Like, I did, like, enjoy the first one. Like, I was young, but, like, if I rewatched it, and then I was like, okay, like, I feel like I would go to the movies just because it's, like, a fun romp to see. Like, it's... The theater experience would probably be pretty fun. So.
And it would be nice that it's like, oh my gosh, I'm watching something comedic.
Not going to a horror film on a Tuesday for once.
And like not going to like a very emotionally draining film or anything like that. That's so refreshing.
Oh my god, it would be great. It wouldn't be like Hustlers and being like, oh, I have to think about the plight of women and sex workers.
Jesus
Christ. but yeah, all right.
Alright,
so we're gonna take a break. We might dig into some cookies, and then we'll be back to talk about
the Aeronauts.
Talk to you then. Welcome back, and we now whisk you back into London, 1862, the cliffs. And we're now gonna talk about the trailer for the Aeronauts.
Did you actually, is it actually 1862?
Yeah.
Did you remember that?
That was like on like the text. It was like, London.
Did you write that down?
1862, though? I think I did, yeah.
How did you remember if you didn't write that down?
It's there.
Oh,
it's
okay.
It's London, 1862.
Oh, okay. I was like, Jesus.
Also, my memory is weirdly accurate sometimes.
Weirdly specific and accurate.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I feel that.
All right.
So should we do a little behind the trailer fact action?
Sure. Let's do some action. Behind the trailer facts. So the director is Tom Harper, and he also has a story credit for this movie.
So writing-wise, this is his first major film.
Oh.
Directing-wise, he's done some stuff. He has done the War and Peace miniseries, and then he also did Peaky Blinders.
Okay.
I was like, one that people may or may not know, and one that people will know.
Both British, I'm guessing.
Because
I know Peaky Blinders is...
Yes, and War and Peace was also
I'm guessing,
a British series as well.
So the writer is Jack Thorne.
Yes, and Jack Thorne has done some stuff. So it's like a combination of that, like, experience, which we've been seeing a little bit more with composers recently, but not so much with other credited things. But he's definitely the more experienced of the two.
Okay.
And he worked on, now let me finish.
Okay.
National Treasure, but not the one with Nicolas Cage, a British film called National Treasure with, like, very established, like, British actors.
Okay. The British Acting Archive.
Before anybody jumps to any conclusions, he also did His Dark Materials, or he's doing, working on His Dark Materials, also working on the Secret Garden film adaptation.
Oh, yes, that was mentioned before in another episode long ago.
At some point, maybe because of, I don't know. I don't remember. It's okay. He also did the film Wonder.
Okay.
That came out last year?
Yes.
Is that just last year?
Wow. Either last year or the year before.
Jesus. And he also...
Oh, hands up!
Rainbow Connection.
All right, so he wrote some episodes of Skins, guys.
Oh my god, we have a Skins connection.
Here we go. So if we're going to be British and we're going to be gay, it's either going to be about the movie Pride, the movie Imagine Me and You, or it's going to be about Skins.
I'll add it to the counter.
And honestly, I don't think I've gotten to talk about Skins yet.
You know, I did one once, time.
I remember
time.
This. Yes. Yep. It's all coming back. Anyway, so Skins, great series. Wonderful, accurate representation of teenagers in England, I think. If not, that's
I say
fine.
As I live in America.
I say as I did not grow up as a teen in England. But in Generation 2, Series 3 and 4, there is a wonderful couple of Emily and Naomi, and it's a wonderful, wonderful place to be. And they're so great and happy together and British and written by Jack Thorne. So thank you, Jack Thorne, for your contribution to lesbians everywhere. The end.
Ta-da!
All right. And that was your Rainbow Connection.
Great.
Okay. The composer.
Yes, I was like.
Kelsey's like, it's still your turn.
It's still, still you.
The composer is Stephen Price.
Okay.
Which didn't strike me as familiar, but he's done some stuff. It was just all before we started our podcast. He did Gravity.
Oh, yes. Good movie.
He did Suicide Squad.
That's a movie.
Remember that he's just the composer.
Yep. I'm still just saying that's a movie.
That's a movie. He did, you're going to like this one, the composing for Baby Driver. There we go. I was like, I gotta wedge that in after the
what a great fucking movie. Editing, just on the technical level alone, that movie is so good. And the music is, like, such a deep, important part of that film. So, props to him.
Yeah. He also did, do you remember?
Oh, jeez.
Quite a while ago, when Marianne went on a slight, not so slight, tangent about the chimpanzee movie. He didn't do the music for it. He didn't do the music for Chimpanzee, but he did it for Blue Planet.
Okay.
And that just reminds me of a Disney Earth Day film.
God, I actually, on our Instagram, which you can follow at Too Many Trailers, I was actually looking at that specific post just the other day where we talked about Animal Cops or something. What was it?
Yes,
Rescue 911 or something like that.
Oh,
Animal
I was
Cops.
Talking about Animal Precinct.
Yes, yes.
That show that was on Animal Planet that I used to watch and then I was afraid of the ACA for a while.
Oh my god, yeah, that's the same episode. Oh god, we're just referencing a bunch of shit that we don't remember.
Yeah, we really are.
Yeah.
My word. But yeah, so that's what Stephen Price has done. He's
good
done some
him.
Great stuff, so I think he'll have a lot of the, like, wispy, airy stuff from, like, Gravity and Blue Planet.
Which makes sense.
And then all of the, like, action-y stuff from Baby Driver.
So, like, good on you.
A
good
great
choice.
Mix.
Great
like, that's
choice.
A really wide range to be
like,
able to do
huge.
Baby Driver
and
then
like,
Blue Planet.
Like, British Acting Collective and Baby Driver. It's just so, it's like America and England. Very,
that was
very
great. Also, I guess, like, Blue Planet has a lot of both because you have a lot of, like, we're watching the waves.
And
then it's
watching
a lot of, like, sharks are eating everything! Swim away! Swim away! Swim
Get
away!
The fuck out! Yeah, there, yeah. You know what? There's Baby Driver, we have British films, and we have Blue Planet. Just
right in the middle! Able to do it all!
Exactly.
Love it, Stephen Price.
Good on you.
Think you're gonna do great.
We're gonna keep you on top, just so we can make sure to reference you every single time you're referenced.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, you want to go into the cast?
Do I want to go into the cast now? We're the British Acting Collective. That's so, I think,
yes.
Of this film. It's so English. Okay.
So English.
And I will tell you why it's so English when I get to the first two people billed in this film.
Let's see.
We have Felicity Jones and Eddie Redmayne. Two people who only do period British films.
Literally. Eddie Redmayne, they were like, do you want to do a role in Harry Potter? He's like, only if it can be in the mid-1900s.
Literally.
They were like, all right.
Yeah, literally. And especially because Felicity Jones and Eddie Redmayne have been together about like four films together that have been period pieces. The Danish Girl, they've had Stephen Hawking movie.
The Theory of Everything.
And then they have now this.
And I'm probably sure they have, like, one more. I think they have one more, but literally insane. And let's just give a warm welcome to Himesh Patel being now the new British Acting Collective.
Yay! You're going to be our token British Indian fellow.
And you might know him from Yesterday, the movie. All right. We also have Anne Reed, Tim McInerney, Phoebe Fox, Vincent Perez, Rebecca Front, Tom Courtenay, and Robert Glinster. All right.
Wow, that is fabulous.
Now we're doing the music. 6 Degrees of Bill Nye. Welcome to our news segment. Marianne, you're up on the block. How can you get Bill Nye
connected to this film?
Yes.
Actually, quite easily, everyone.
Oh, my God.
Seeing as this is a film with the British Acting Collective, as Chelsea likes to call it. So if we go simply into the second top billed cast member, Mr. Eddie Redmayne, and we recall that he was in some films J.K. Rowling penned called, motherfucker, I can't remember shit. Oh, Fantastic.
You just said
it. I know. If we just recall that he was in some films called Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Okay.
If we recall that that's in the same universe as Harry Potter, and we jump right over into there, into a little flash forward from Fantastic Beasts, we will be able to see that Bill Nighy played Rufus Scrimgeour, not the Prime Minister. Fuck.
He was Winston Churchill.
The Minister. Shut up. We'll be able to remember that he played Rufus Scrimgeour, the Minister of Magic, for the 6th and 7th movies, and I guess technically the 8th also, because 7th was split into two parts. But yeah, so 1 degree of separation.
Do-do-do-do! You did it!
So easy this week!
So easy.
I love when we watch a lot of British film trailers, it makes that job a lot easier to connect it to Bill Nighy.
Because of the British Acting Collective. Oh. Okay.
Now we can talk about the film trailer.
Finally. Alright. So we start this trailer with the...
God damn it. You know what we start this trailer with?
What?
A fucking ad clip at the beginning of the goddamn trailer.
Of course, no, it was
my opening note just says, God damn it.
God damn it, we did it again. And not in a good way.
I hate you.
And then it moves on. Okay. Since we already had this wonderful little discussion in our first segment.
Yep.
Have the classic British cliffs.
Kelsey's least favorite thing. Literally, so my opening note is, God damn it, and hers is, motherfucker.
Oh, God. Like, they literally are in period clothes from 1800, the late, almost the Victorian era.
Yeah.
Like, early Victorian era clothing, where they're flying a fucking kite by the cliffs
in the field. Like, on a foggy, overcast day in England.
Not 6 seconds into, the real trailer. People. We get it. It's England. You don't even have to... I'm thankful that they didn't show, a cottage or some shit like that.
Could you imagine? And then they went back to a little cottage, had some tea.
Shoot me. I would rather them start with Eddie Redmayne in the professor auditorium speaking to, the people. Mm. Being like, hey, we're
was
weathermen.
Was that the auditorium? Or was that, I couldn't tell for one part. I was like, are you in Parliament?
No, I think Parliament...
Was there a scene with Parliament, though?
No, because Parliament was, they had Parliament structure back in the 1800s, right?
Yeah.
So, no, I think it was, more like a scientist.
I couldn't tell.
I think it was, a classroom, honestly.
This isn't usually what would make Parliament look like, exactly.
I think they were just trying to get grant money from scientists, so they're like, let's put it in a professor's room! Because it reminded me of Professor Moriarty's classroom from Sherlock Holmes 2. So that's why I was like, no, this is a classroom, because that's what they used in the 1800s, according to film.
According to another film.
Boom. So can we talk about how this is a movie made by Amazon Studios?
Yeah, that popped up.
So Amazon, this is probably like one of their newer films. So they did The Big Sick, which is like a big Amazon Studios film, because it because Kumail Nanjiani and his wife, I forgot her name. Well, anyway, they so they actually won Best Screenplay, Best Original Screenplay, and that was an Amazon Studios film. Hold on, let me search up what her name is, because that's going to bother me.
When did The Big Sick come out?
A couple years ago.
And that was Amazon?
Yeah, that was Amazon Studios.
Did I know that?
I don't think so. It came out in 2017, and it was written by Emily V. Gordon and Kumail Nanjiani. So that was written by, I think that was one of, like, their bigger, their first, like, bigger studios film, because that was, like, it was in theaters, and it was, like, a big debate, because Amazon was moving into, like, their production companies and everything. But yeah, also, now that we're talking about Amazon, I just finished a series, and if you have Amazon, completely unrelated, it's a show called Undone. I literally just finished it.
Oh my god, you just tweeted about that today.
Yes. It is legitimately, like, people, if you have Amazon Prime, please watch this. It's about a Mexican-American woman who's deaf and she has schizophrenia, but she's not villainized at all, and it's incredible. Please watch it. It's so good. Anyway, we can continue.
Kelsey was like, I just have a quick plug.
Just people watch the show. It's so good. It's also rotoscoped, so it's not, like, it, like, actors act, but they, like, draw on top of them. So it's really, really well done. Oh my god. Okay. This movie is Weathermen, the film.
It's, so, I have to say, when I started the beginning of this film, I was like, cool, it's going to be about, like, flying balloons, that's pretty cool, whatever. And then they were like, to predict the weather. I was like, to predict the weather?
They were like the first, like, hi, this is...
Which is, like, all well and good, but I was like, I thought this film was just going to be about flying balloons.
Yeah. I mean, it is and it isn't. It's really weird.
Fucking, it's a shipwreck movie except on a balloon.
It literally, that's what... Thank you.
You're welcome. I was like, it's like the Life of Pi.
Yeah, it literally...
On a balloon.
It's such a ridiculous plot. And then, oh my god. And then it's like, based on true... I'm like, what do you mean it's based on fucking true events? Like,
how true is that event?
Like, is it just like, you got the air hot air balloon a little higher than 100 feet, you fucking Victorians? Like,
and
what
like,
the fuck?
You actually were able to predict weather and then you came back down safely? Like, was there any of this, like... death in the sky?
No, because obviously they're white and they're gonna survive.
No, I don't mean like that. I mean, like, was the true event, was that, like, was it actually that crazy of an experience? Like, did they go through, like, storms and
shit? I feel like...
Probably
like,
not.
Probably, like,
because they'd be dead.
It's probably, like, Victorianized, where they're like, and there was a cloud.
And then there was a rainbow. And then they came down safely. Shut up.
Oh, my God. Wow. So Eddie Redmayne, anyway...
Why does Eddie Redmayne always have to play the genius role?
I know. Like, I don't think he's, like, really the genius. I think he's more the salesman in this
film. No, I know.
Film.
But, like, when he was, like, opening and stuff and he was like, we could use this to predict the weather. I was like, oh, great.
But I feel like this
idea
film...
created by Eddie Redmayne.
Eddie Redmayne doing again, being, like, the smartest person in the room.
Damn it.
I think it's more going to be more focused on Felicity Jones' character.
Yes, no, I know and I agree. But at the beginning, I was like, why?
Right. I agree. Especially when they, and I feel like this happens in every, like, period piece film where, when women, like, didn't have rights. I mean, we still really don't, but, like, that's another
issue. For another day.
Yeah.
Another podcast.
Not ours. They're like, this woman was like, ugh, she doesn't belong. Women don't belong. And I'm like, I mean, like, some movies I would, like, being like, okay, like, I understand why you're saying this, but it's like, we already know that it's London 1862, which you've very graciously pointed it out 4 times, that it's not, you know.
As if we couldn't tell by the cliffs.
Exactly. It's just, it's a very, like, it's a phrase that didn't need to be said.
Yep.
It's just,
we
like,
get it.
We get it. Like, I understand. Like, I understand that it's, like, people who see this might not understand, like, politics of the 1860s.
But also, it's, like, women's rights everywhere
but
weren't, like, a thing.
Right, but also, people are stupid.
That is very true, Kelsey.
So, I mean, like, I understand, like, that, but also it's, like, you can do it in other ways, where it's, like,
yeah,
like, where you can show a Felicity Jones character, and maybe, like, they will, I don't know, this is a trailer, maybe they'll show, like, her doing things that, like, that she'll be stopped.
Wearing pants. Radical!
I do have to say that when she was like, this woman's so out there, and she, like, they cut to, like, her in, like, a purple dress.
It was the funniest fucking thing.
I was like, are you kidding me? Oh, God. It was just, like, so...
Deep breathing.
Done. I mean, like, that's why, like, I consider this film, like, magical realism. Mm. Because, like, obviously, like, they're not gonna... Like, people didn't, you know, go up into this hot air balloon. Unless I'm wrong. I don't know.
Is there a book?
I mean, is there a book? It just said based... It didn't say based off a book. It said based off true events. So I feel like they just, like, saw some newspaper articles and were like, fuck it, let's write a movie.
They were like, let's make it more exciting.
But yeah, that's why I feel like it was, like, more magical realism, because I didn't feel as though this movie...
I didn't think either of them were gonna die up there.
Right.
That's
like,
why
obviously,
it's magical realism. If it was just, like, an actual film, one of them would die.
Both of them would die.
Or both of them. That would be a hard film to make, but yes, or both of them could die.
This movie seems like... I have two feelings of what this movie is.
Okay.
It either feels like a 5-year-old telling a story to their parents.
Oh my god, that's a really good analogy.
Or it's it feels like someone telling this to, like, a movie producer and not knowing, like, just, like, going off the cuff as to what they're saying, and they just keep adding shit.
It's like they came to the, like,
meeting and they
to the meeting, like, the pitch with no ideas, and they were like, they were in a hot air balloon. And then it went up too high. And then they predicted the weather. And then they maybe came back down, but who knows, because there was a storm.
And then there's butterflies at some point, because butterflies can...
Butterflies don't go up that high. Is that even real life?
No.
Can butterflies even live up that high?
You know what? I'm not an entomologist, so I don't know.
I'm gonna look it up.
But...
You'll all find out.
But it just feels like... It honestly feels like a 5-year-old was just like, and then they went up, and then there was butterflies.
I love butterflies. There were butterflies there, and then there was a rainbow, and then almost died, and then they came down, and then they revived, and maybe they had cake.
Victorians love their cake. But, like, it was a very much... It was just a weird trailer. To me, it just felt like, there it is, enjoy, see it.
Right, like, Zombieland Double Tap felt very long.
Right.
Right, and then this film trailer, I didn't get a long feeling from, but I didn't get a short feeling from. I don't know what just happened, so I'm just gonna
let
it go.
It was like a fever dream, almost.
That is so accurate.
Because it's like, you have Himesh Patel being like, he says something so, like, they put it, like, such a ridiculous, like, plot line on him, where he's like,
some people are meant to go up, and some people just help them to get there, some stupid shit like that, and the kid was like,
what? No, get the fuck up there, Himesh Patel. It was just like, you're saying to me, what this film is communicating to me is that weather is the villain. That is the villain of this film, is weather. Like, climate.
Wow.
So is this a movie about climate change?
It's like the day after tomorrow.
Jake Gyllenhaal's gonna be like, guys, we need to go to a library.
He's got his parka on. Guys, I know what to do.
I swear to God, if Jake Gyllenhaal ends up in this film, like, in a fucking parka, like, in, like, the library, being like, what am I reading? Oh, my God. And they somehow make, like, a day after tomorrow, like, a universe. Oh, that'd be so great.
Good.
That's what will make me go see this film, if there's a connection.
If they add in Jake Gyllenhaal or any kind of connection to the day after tomorrow.
100%.
Everyone take note. If you would like Kelsey to go to this film, that's what you need to do.
Just like, at me, at Too Many Trailers, at our, being like, Kelsey, there's a Jake Gyllenhaal part
and then even if there's
cameo in this film, and then Kelsey's like, I'm on it.
I'm in.
Day comes out. I'm paying full price.
Friday, 9 o'clock showing. I'm in. Oh my god. I mean, okay. I do like the music.
I did too. Nice job, Stephen. So one of my other notes was, if this film doesn't fucking end up with them going to Oz, I'm out. I'm a head out. About to crash, and then you don't fucking land in Oz.
Like, Judy Garland will be there.
Connection between this and Judy. Maybe when she was singing in England, it's where they're gonna land. In the future, a little bit. She sings a little somewhere over
Judy
the
Garland.
They land in the theater.
She's going like, to take her Ambien and being like, this is the story I need.
And she, like, takes her Ambien and she's like, this is what I see. Does everybody else see it? I don't know.
There's a woman in a clown costume going up on a hot air balloon.
Let's see what happens.
Okay, did you see that shot? Like, that 1 millisecond of a shot where she's, like, in this ridiculous outfit that I'm pretty sure is a clown costume.
Oh, I don't want to see that.
Oh, it's amazing. It's not even scary. It's just, like, a white outfit.
Not in a
outfit.
Scary way. I just, like, I don't want to be tainted by such a terrible image from the film.
It's such a, like, a weird outfit. I'm like, oh, no, so are you...
Oh, no, why?
Oh, no, why, first of all. Second of all, is she part of the circus? That's why she knows, like, how to...
I don't think so.
What is her fucking connection to hot air balloons? Do they even, like, say it in the trailer?
I will tell you what it probably will be based on the outline of this film.
Okay.
Her dad used to fly hot air balloons.
Oh my fucking god, are you kidding me?
I don't know for sure, but
no,
if
but
you
I mean,
go
like,
by, like, what happens in most times,
yeah,
yeah
actually,
it's
yeah,
gonna be her dad.
Dad used to fly the air balloons, and now I want to do it
because
even though I'm a woman.
Because he died.
He left the hot air balloon business to me, even though I'm a woman.
And I took it over with my brother, whose name is on everything, but we all know that I'm better at flying.
He's the business person, and I'm the muscle behind the lines.
I'm the brains behind it, and he's just the face.
London, 1862.
And cut.
Great, we're done.
Wait, I feel like that was the whole film.
That was literally the whole... That's probably at least, like, half the film. And, like, Eddie Redmayne trying to convince her, no, I'm the better.
I'm gonna go up with you in the hot air balloon. No, you won't. Yes, I will. No, you won't.
Yes, I'm gonna go with you because I love you.
But yeah, Kelsey, do you have any other notes about this film? Before we, like, fucking segue our way... 2 hours later.
This movie is absolutely ridiculous. And I'm going to see it on Bargain Tuesday, probably. It just, honestly, it's so ridiculous.
Oh,
I, like, have to see it, like, at least on the big screen, because I feel like it's actually going to be pretty, like, very pretty and everything.
Yes,
like,
I cannot wait for those butterflies to show up out of nowhere.
God,
on the big
I'm
screen.
So excited to find out where those fucking butterflies
People
are.
People are going to clutch their pearls.
Butterflies!
So beautiful!
No, I feel like they probably kept him in, like, a basket, being like, how do they survive? And then that's how it is.
PETA were needed to come up at the end.
No, like,
no butterflies were harmed at the beginning of this film.
It's like, they're CGI. But, yeah, probably Bargain Tuesday, just because, like, I feel like I'm going to enjoy this film more than I should.
Do you think you'd be interested in doing a back-to-back showing of Zombieland, Double Tap, and the Aeronauts?
I would love that, and you know that. You know that too well that I would actually enjoy that immensely.
It'd be like what we just did in this podcast on crack.
Yeah, exactly. Guys, we have 2 hours of thoughts about Zombieland and the Aeronauts.
We are sorry.
We are so sorry, but yet you're still listening to it. But anyway, how about you?
I think my last, like, kind of feeling about this also is that, like, as Felicity Jones was talking, I was like, maybe I just really like Felicity Jones' voice also.
Yeah.
A new Bill Nye.
The female Bill Nye.
I was like, and then literally it, like, as she was talking, I was like, your voice is so nice. And then I shot up like a cartoon and I was like, maybe that's why I have a sticker with a quote from Star Wars Rogue One on it on my water bottle.
You've seen,
maybe,
like,
it's not about Rogue One, and maybe it's about Felicity Jones' voice.
You and literally, like, half the population. Have you seen Rogue One?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, I was like,
I've
definitely
seen it.
I've
seen every Star Wars film.
Okay,
but
that's
yeah.
I was like, I know you've seen it.
But I was just like, shit, maybe I don't even like that film. It's just about Felicity Jones' voice, which, like, could it be?
Possibly, probably. Honestly. There's, like, an 80% chance that that's probably why.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, so that was just an interesting fact. Yep. Am I going to see this film?
Probably not. That's very true. Honestly, I don't even know why I asked.
I'm not going to see this film. Yeah. I have a higher likelihood of watching Zombieland.
Wow, that is a first.
This is like a British film that would possibly put me to sleep.
Just to the white, that was the white guy blinking. That meme.
So that was a little aggressive, but like
no, but like
Eddie Redmayne does not like make me want to watch a film. Wow, sorry, I don't even know where this is coming from. It's not even that late.
Eddie Redmayne stands. Hold off on listening to this episode.
Yes, so sorry, don't send me any hate mail.
Well, if you want to send any hate mail, don't.
But yeah. Maybe if it was Felicity Jones and another British actor that I liked better.
Himesh Patel?
Yeah, maybe if Himesh Patel was in the fucking hot air balloon, not Eddie Redmayne, I would be much happier.
It would be such a better story, too.
And the people that wrote it would probably be like, well, did you know that the man that went up with her on the hot air balloon was white and not Indian, so we wanted to choose somebody.
We had to do some historical accuracy to the casting.
Fuck you, I don't give a fuck.
But remember that there's butterflies that can survive in the third ozone layer. Atmospheric layer.
Right, we want it to be historically accurate, however, butterflies are fucking up in the sky. This better be a fever dream for everybody.
If there was ice on that fucking balloon, the air would have constricted so fucking fast.
That balloon would have fucking... Yes, you right. The air would have constricted. They all would have gone down. Everybody would have died in a fiery crash.
Especially, and if you went up even higher, the pressure actually increases as well. Right. Remember, people, if you just go on a plane and have like a pillow type thing where you blow up an air, don't blow it up all the way because the pressure does increase in the cabin. And it also is fucking warm. And thus, when it's warm, air increases in pillows and balloons. And they pop. So, you know what, motherfuckers? This is not scientifically accurate. You're more than welcome to have Himesh Patel in the fucking air balloon.
Don't keep him on the ground. This is rude. This is racist. Another reason why I'm not going to see this film. It's fucking racist. Closing my notebook. I'm done.
Marianne just slammed all that shit on the table.
I'm over it. I'm not seeing this film.
All right. I'm still not seeing up Burn Down Tuesday.
Because Kelsey was the first person to say it was racist, and then she was like, I'ma still see it, though.
Reduced pricing.
It's fine.
Is it, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fine.
Okay.
Alright, so,
if you have any other thoughts that are nice...
Do you know a lot of facts about hot air balloons?
Are you a hot air balloon connoisseur? Do you, race them? Or actually know how to work one? Yeah. Email us. You can email us at
TooManyTrailers@gmail.com. So that's TWOManyTrailers@gmail.com.
Or if you have any things about zombies that you might want to share, or about your feelings about Zombieland, the first one, and the Twinkies quote. Do you say that? We want to know.
Do you use it in your real life a lot?
I know that that quote might be repeated, and I might get sick of it so quickly. Anyways, if you would like to follow us on any other social media, you're more than welcome to. We have Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram where we post occasionally regarding episodes and funny memes. You can follow us at TWO Many Trailers. That's Too Many Trailers on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
If you would like to listen to more of our episodes, or if you're like, hey, this was pretty great. I'd like to subscribe. You can definitely do that on Apple Podcasts. You can do it on Google Play, Spotify, Overcast, and Anchor. Yeah. Our hosting site.
And our sponsor.
Thank
you, Anchor, for sponsoring this episode.
Hashtag ad.
So you can follow us there in iTunes. Rate us 5 stars. Write us a review. If you write us a review, you can, we will read it, on air.
Yeah, we'll mention you.
We do post episodes every other week, so twice a month, and
Think
Tank. We've got a great lineup for this fall, you all should be really happy and excited.
We
about
straight
it.
Up had like a we cannot phone
tell
call.
You what they are, but yes, we had a business phone call meeting
phone
about
call
this
meeting.
To plan our fall.
Let's
and it's
just
looking
say,
pretty rock solid for you guys. Like
December,
ready.
I'm extremely excited about. I'm just saying.
I am so ready.
I'm just excited for the amount of bonus episodes that we will be doing.
Yeah, we do throw in an occasional bonus episode here or there. So, like,
so get ready for December.
So it's a really good reason to subscribe because then it'll come right to your phone.
Because, you know, we might post an episode someday during the week between episodes. So who knows?
Who would know?
Anything else? Should I close out the episode?
Let's close it out.
All right. So, guys, remember, don't judge a film by its trailer. Leave that up to us. Have a great whenever. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.